weeps. So, Om Ganatha Miranda Shad and Anjira. Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Gena Tasmai Sudurvaina Maha. So, as I mentioned before, today is the commemoration of the disappearance days of Gauridas Pandit and Srila Rupa Goswami. So first we'll speak very quickly about Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit, of course, was a direct disciple of Lord Nityananda and one of the Dwadasha, that means 12, Gopals, that means the 12 primary associates of Lord Nityananda who were cowherd boys in Rajalila. And in Rajalila, his name is Subal. And that was actually revealed to him later, and I'll describe that story. So he lived in a place called Ambika Kalna, which is in the district of Vardhaman. And I've actually been there, Vardhaman. And there's a train station there. And it's actually closer to Mayapur than the Calcutta train station. If one's going from Vrindavan to Mayapur, there's no need to go to Delhi and there's no need to go to Calcutta. You can just take the train right from Tundla, which is near Agra, all the way to Vardhaman, which is about an hour away from Mayapur. So it's a hint for those of you who take trains. Anyway, so many stories about him and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him. And while he was coming, he had to cross the Ganges. And he used an oar on the boat. It's interesting, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rowing the boat. And then later on, he gave that oar to Gauridas Pandit and said, with this oar, you can cross over the ocean of material existence. And that oar, O-A-R, just so you know what I'm talking about, that oar is still in the temple of Gauridas Pandit and Naumika Khan. And also in that temple there's an amazing book. It's the Bhagavad Gita that was personally written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Lord Chaitanya's writings. Hopefully the devotee will take a picture of it one day and will be in the Bhaktivedanta Research Institute. And his younger brother is named Suryadas Sarakala, and that brother was the father of Janava and Vasudha, who later on married Sri Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he had amazing deities. Gauridas Pandit had amazing deities, and these deities were personally placed there by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's some stories that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda expanded themselves as the deities, and other stories are that they posed to have the deities carved. So once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were visiting Gauridas Pandit, and he wouldn't let them go. He was crying out of separation. And they said, well, we have to go, so we're going to manifest ourselves as deities so you can take care of us forever. So these deities are described as looking pretty much exactly like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. There's pictures of these deities you can see on the internet and even the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he had many interesting pastimes with the deities. One of those pastimes, the deities came off the altar and were talking to him and said to him that, you are actually Subal in Rajalila. So it's pretty interesting. They had the deities reveal one's Siddhadeha, isn't it? It would be like having Radha Golokananda say to one of us, you know, of course, we're not on that level, but anyway, just like that, saying that you are a cow in the spiritual world or something like that. And when he got very old, he could no longer take care of the deities. In other words, it was a big strain for him to cook for the deities. So the deities said to him, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya said to him, that you don't have to cook so much, you know, just like behave, just calm down a little bit. And he said, well, just eat what I'm offering to you. And from that day forward, he just offered a little shock, which is spinach. And then one day he was dreaming and thinking of dressing the deities very, very opulently. But Krishna was very tricky. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were very tricky. And they actually dressed themselves. They came down off the altar and put on their ornaments themselves and put the clothes on themselves. And then he opened the altar and he saw that the deities were already dressed. And he said, how did this happen? And they explained that, to him how they were dressed. Interesting story, how the devotees can interact with the deities. And then finally, there's the story of Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya was his primary disciple. And Hridaya Chaitanya, one time, without his guru's permission, arranged for a Gaur Purnima festival. And Gauridas Pandit got very angry with Hridaya Chaitanya, who was previously known as Hridayananda. And he chased him out of the temple. The deities left the temple to go with his disciple, Hridayananda, who's called Hridayananda, later on became Hridaya Chaitanya. And Gauridas Pandit got really angry. He went to the bank of the Ganges where the deities were with his disciple. And he got ready with a stick, getting angry at the deities. And the deities jumped into the heart of his disciple. And from that day forward, his disciple became known as Hridaya Chaitanya. That is, he who has Chaitanya in the heart. Anyway, so many interesting stories about Gauridas Pandit and his disciple Hridaya Chaitanya, and also Hridaya Chaitanya's disciple Shyamananda. But there's no time to tell all those stories. So today is also the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. We are known in the Krishna consciousness movement as Rupa Nugas, that means followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. He is the primary acharya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vedati Swa Vedantikam. That Srila Rupa Goswami, you have understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plans, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presentation of the philosophy. It was Srila Rupa Goswami who actually elaborated on this whole topic of rasa theology. This was explained to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he actually developed it into a very elaborate explanation, which we find in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We find this in the Nectar of Devotion and the Ujjala Nilamani. And the Ujjala Nilamani is Rupa Goswami's book that takes up where the Nectar of Devotion or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu leaves off. It's a very intimate book. And first of all, we should understand and study and imbibe all the teachings of the Nectar of Devotion. And even the Nectar of Devotion gets very, very, let's say, esoteric or elevated at the end of the Nectar of Devotion. Generally, when we're giving the Bhakti Shastri courses, we don't deal with the second part or the last part of the Nectar of Devotion. Because you're dealing with rasa theology, you're dealing with the different bhavas or the rasa bhas, the mixing of the rasas, when it becomes improper, when it's proper, and then, of course, the indirect rasas. It's quite a complicated affair and hard to understand what to speak of the Ujjala Nilamani. So a little bit of the life history of Rupa Goswami. His father and mother, their names were Kumar Dev and Revati Devi, and they had five sons and one daughter. It's interesting, one interesting point is you read about the history of all these personalities, they generally had a lot more boys than girls. There's nothing wrong with girls, but Srila Prabhupada's disciples, on the other hand, had a lot more girls than boys. And Prabhupada one time, you know, jokingly sort of chastised the devotees for that. He said, "I don't know what's happened, what you're doing wrong." Anyway, at least they should be equal amount. So the names of Rupa and Sanatan were later on given to them by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in the beginning their names were Amara and Santosh. And then they took the names of Adabir Kash and Shakara Malik when they were working under the Nawab Hussein Shah. The reason they worked under the Nawab Hussein Shah, we're talking about Sanatan Goswami too, of course. The reason they worked under the Nawab Hussein Shah is because the Nawab Hussein Shah had threatened the villagers, saying that unless Rupa and Sanatan or Davir Kas and Shakara Malik work for him, he was going to destroy the villages. I mean, actually, that's what the Muslims did in many cases. The Mughals did in many cases. They actually, you know, raped the ladies and destroy the village, burn down the villages, forcibly converting people, force people to eat meat, threw the water from their water pots on the Hindus' heads, and that way the Hindus considered they were converted. In any case, that's why Rupa and Sanatan worked for the Nawab Hussein Shah. The name W. Qasim, his private secretary, and Shikara Malik means revenue officer, which in common English it means tax collector. That's an English saying, you know, revenue officer. If you say to people, you know, in America, are you going to see the revenue officers? They don't know what you mean, right? You have to say the IRS. So Rupa Goswami, even before he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'd written several books on Vedic philosophy and this book, Hunksa Duta, that means the swan messenger, Hunksa Duta. And also they would regularly recite Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course they were interested in devotees. I mean, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari is his siddha name. So anyway, they began to work for the Nawab Hussein Shah. Later on, they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a village called Ramakeli. And in this village of Ramakeli, which they lived, they had actually constructed a replica of Vrindavan. So they would feel comfortable. They called that Gupta, or hidden Vrindavan. And they were so erudite, so educated, they understood Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian, the local dialects, and they studied Sanskrit under Saravanda Vijaya Vachaspati, who was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother. You see, these devotees are all connected. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 1514 stopped in Ramakeli, and he also had with him Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, and both of the brothers, Davir Kash Shakara Balik, took bunches of straw to indicate their humility and placed them between their teeth, and they fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And they began to glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, and this is a quote, "You are the most merciful savior of the fallen souls, all glories to your supreme personality. We belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are the lowest type. Therefore, we feel it strange to introduce ourselves to you. We are ashamed, for you are pure. Dear Lord, let us assure you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Since you have specifically incarnated to deliver the fallen souls, please consider that there is none so fallen as the two of us, for we are worse than Jagai and Madai." So, I mean, that's an interesting statement. Worse than Jagai and Madai. Obviously, they didn't do the things that Jagai and Madai did. But they considered, because they were associated with these extremely low-class people, you know, the Mughals, who had actually destroyed so much of Vedic culture, and they became servants of the Mughals, they considered they had lost all good qualities, and actually it was worse than Jagai Mata, who never associated with that particular type of low-class person, although Jagai Mata were low-class person. This was their humility. Of course, they did not become degraded. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time gave them their initiation, and he said, "You two brothers are my eternal servants, and your names will be from now on Rupa and Sanatan." And he said, "I've come here specifically to meet you and specifically to give you your service." And he described that Lord Chaitanya described that Krishna will very soon deliver you, and he placed his feet on their heads, which is wonderful. And at that point, they advised him not to go to Vrindavan, because Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, but he was going with a big entourage, you know, hundreds of people. And they said, "This is not proper. This is like, you know, basically like a circus. You know, you should go to Vrindavan in a meditative mood, not with a large group of people like that." So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya accepted their advice, and he went back to Puri at this point rather than going to Vrindavan. Mm. So they also had a younger brother named Anupama, who was later on, but he was the father of Raghunath Das Goswami. Not Raghunath Das Goswami. Jiva Goswami, sorry. I got that wrong. He was the father of Jiva Goswami. He was the most erudite philosopher of all time. So Rupa Goswami decided to renounce everything shortly after meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were so wealthy, they had like boatloads of gold coins, that Rupa Goswami gave 50% to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, 25% to his relatives, and 25% for personal emergencies. And that 25% was later used by Sanatana Goswami to bribe his way out of prison when Sanatana Goswami wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Prayag, Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Anupama met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he instructed them for 10 days on Krishna Tattva and the philosophy, the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And there, Rupa Goswami composed that prayer, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gorda to say, O most munificent incarnation of the Lord, you are Krishna himself. Mm. Appearing as Sri Chaitanya, you've assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are freely distributing what no other incarnation has ever distributed before, pure love of God. That is, pure love of God in the mood of the Vrajavasin, the intimate love of God. So then they proceeded to Vrindavan, and on the way to Vrindavan, Anupama departed from this world. Of course, Anupama was actually a devotee of Lord Raghunath, that is Lord Ramchandra. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had previously tried to dissuade him from concentrating on Lord Ramchandra and said, just worship Krishna, but Anupama was very, very determined. So Rupa Goswami, after being in Vrindavan, decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Mm. And on the way to Puri, he conceived of this concept of writing Siddhanta and writing about Krishna's pastimes in the context of a play. And so he wanted to write a play about Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwarka. So on his way to Puri, Rupa Goswami passed through a village named Satyabhama Pura, that's in Orissa. And then he had a dream in that village while he was resting, in which a beautiful woman appeared and asked him to write a separate play about her. In other words, to separate the two plays rather than combining them in one play, Vrindavan and Dwarka. And so the next day he realized that he had dreamt of Satyabhama in Satyabhama Pura. So later on, when he reached Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed that there is a vast difference between the pastimes in Vrindavan and the pastimes in Dwarka. There's a difference in mood. So he also said there should be two separate dramas. And Rupa Goswami wrote very early drafts of these plays, the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lila Madhava. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read some of those early drafts, and so did Ramananda Roy, and they became overwhelmed in ecstasy reading this. Mm. So these two works are regarded by Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the most important dramatic literature in the Sanskrit language. Very, very important literature. The Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. Vidagdha Madhava deals with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava deals with Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, or outside of Vrindavan. Very, very nice. It reveals the ontological position of Satyabhama and also of Chandravali being a Rukmini in Dwarka. Wonderful. We've done a narration on this if anyone's interested. It's at iskondesiretree.com. You can download the reading of these two dramas in English, the translation in English. So when he was in, when Rupa Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, he did not go to the temple. That's interesting. Because he considered himself fallen, having previously worked for the Mughals, so he just stayed with Haridas Thakur, as Sanatana Goswami later on did, and saw the flag on the top of the temple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you offer obeisances to the flag, then you get the same benefit as seeing the deities. And also, Lord Jagannath, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would see him and Haridas Thakur every day. So that's pretty amazing. So he stayed for 10 months in Puri and received further instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Krishna consciousness. And then he decided to go to Vrindavan again. And he was delayed for a full 12 months in Vrindavan on the way, in Bengal, I'm sorry, on the way to Vrindavan. So during that time, he just assured his family members that they would be all right and arranged for their maintenance and gave his wealth to them so they would have a sense of security. So you see, he acted very, very responsibly in that regard. So even though he had taken the renounced order of life, he didn't neglect things from before, although he followed all the details in the renounced order of life. So Srila Prabhupada, similarly, when he left this world, he left a certain stipend for his family members. It was there in the will. Of course, many of his family members took ISKCON to court, arguing that the stipend wasn't enough, that actually they owned all the property of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, at least in India. And there was a court battle in Bombay, and the devotees won. And Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj headed up that court battle with some other devotees from the Gaudiya Math. So Rupa Goswami established the deity of Vrindadevi, that is the presiding deity of the Vrindavan forest. And this deity of Vrindadevi was actually in Vrindavan originally. Later on, when the Mughals attacked, they tried to take Vrindadevi to Jaipur along with Govindaji, but they were unable to do so because Vrindadevi refused the deity, just like refused, nobody could carry her out, refused to leave Braj somehow or other. You know, all the devotees just couldn't take her away from Braj, and she remained in a place named Kamyavan in western Braj. And there's a temple there, a Madan Mohan temple, not the original one that's in Vrindavan. But there's another Madan Mohan temple there in Kamyavan, and that's where she is, in western Braj. I mean, one day we'll take the devotees all over Braj, and we can visit these different places. I've been there, of course. I've been to Kamyavan and so many other places in western Braj. Western Braj means all the way to the west, at the edge of the Braj area. Sometimes Braj is called Vrindavan, and sometimes Vrindavan just refers to the Vrindavan forest, one of the 12 main forests. So once upon a time, Rupa Goswami was thinking about the difficult task that lay before him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him. And while he was thinking about that on the banks of the Yamuna River, a young boy approached and asked him for the reason for his despondency. He told the boy of his mission, and he told the boy that he wanted to build wonderful temples for the worship of Radha and Krishna, to establish a scholastic and theology community for the production of systematic understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And the boy said, please come with me, you know, I'll help you. And he led him to a small hill, and inside the boy told Rupa Goswami that there was a deity of Krishna, and the deity's name was Govindadevi, Govindadevi, and this Govindadevi had been installed by Brajanava, 4,500 years earlier, and Brajanava is Krishna's great grandson, and during the Muslim invasion, the deity had been buried, and every day, the boy said, There was a cow who came and just dropped his milk in on the hole in the hill, and the deity was drinking the milk. So Rupa Goswami was thinking, what an interesting story. So he came the next morning to the hill just to see if the cow came. And lo and behold, a cow came, and from the cow's udders, milk started to flow into the hill. And so Rupa Goswami called all the villagers, they excavated the site, and found the Govindadev deity. That's interesting. And then Lord Chaitanya was informed about that by Rupa Goswami, sent a message. And under the patronage of the Emperor Akbar, who was actually very liberal and appreciating all the different religions, a temple was constructed, and it was finished in 1590 or 1593. So there was also another emperor, or a king, Maharaj Man Singh of Amber, Jaipur, who donated huge quantities of red sandstone for this temple. And this temple was a magnificent temple. Of course, the Govindaji temple was later on cut down by the Mughals. Aurangzeb, he was actually in his palace in Agra, and he saw the ghee lamps on the top of the temple. He got so agitated that he sent his soldiers to destroy the temple. The soldiers came to destroy the temple. They were cutting down the upper stories, and all of a sudden there was a massive either earthquake or roaring or whatever. And the soldiers got so scared they ran away. And so the temple was only half cut down. And you'll see that today. Many of the temples were like that. The Haridev temple in the Banasaganga area is like that too. You can see the top of it. We have some helicopter shots of it. You can see it was actually cut down. So the deity was installed, and later on the deity was moved to Jaipur, where he is presently being worshipped. And there was some controversy about that, but I'm not gonna have time to talk about that. The Ramanandis tried to separate Govindaji from Radharani. And later on, Baladev Vijayabhushan came and convinced them that Govindaji and Radharani should be together. So, let's see. We talked about the Vidarta Madhava. We talked about the Lalita Madhava. And let's see. We mentioned that. We mentioned the Ujjala Nilamani. Oh, here's another, the final story. One day, as Rupa Goswami was performing bhajan in Tero Kadamba, that's near Nandagram, he wanted to get some milk and sugar and prepare some kheer for his brother that would be offered to Govindaji. And so he was thinking in this way, and then a beautiful young girl came to him and brought him a nice quantity of milk and sugar. And she said, please prepare some nice kheer and offer it to your deity. After saying these words, she disappeared. Then later on, after Rupa Goswami prepared this preparation, cooked down the milk, and offered it to the deity, he offered it to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami asked him, where did you get such nice ingredients? And this milk has a special, spiritual flavor and taste to it. And so Rupa Goswami said, well, this little girl came and offered me the milk, the ingredients, and the sugar, and that's how I made it. And Sanatana Goswami said, what did that girl look like? And Rupa Goswami began to describe the nature and the features of the girl. And Sanatana Goswami could understand that that girl was no other than Srimati Radharani. And so Sanatana Goswami began to chastise Srila Rupa Goswami. Because Sanatana Goswami was, in one sense, he was the older brother in considering this like spiritual master. Even Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya was their spiritual master. But Rupa Goswami related to Sanatana Goswami like a disciple to guru. And of course, that is actually the etiquette in India, that when you have an older brother, you serve the older brother. You don't have that etiquette in America. And of course, serving your parents and all that other stuff is part of the culture you have in India. Whereas in America, I mean, you don't serve your parents, you don't serve your elder brother, you don't serve anybody. It's just like serve yourself. A very much self-centered culture, and India is becoming like that now too, by the influence of the media, the Western media. So anyway, so Sanatana Goswami chastised Srila Rupa Goswami, saying, don't you understand, we are supposed to serve Srimati Radharani, not be served by Srimati Radharani. You should never again accept any of these gifts. So, and these are some of the stories about Srila Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the Rupa Loda concept?
That's interesting. Actually, we spoke a little bit about this yesterday. How Srila Prabhupada showed that he was actually a completely faithful Rupa Nuga, in that he not only taught about, you know, Prayojana, which many people are going around now teaching about Prayojana, about the gopis and everything, you know, elevated stuff like that, but he gave us an elaborate explanation on how to perform Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And of course, Prabhupada also mentions and gives us explanation in the Nectar Devotion about Raganuga Bhakti too. But, you know, Prabhupada really gave us, being a representative of Srila Rupa Goswami, gave us a complete package of Vaidhi Bhakti. And that means, you know, with the morning program, and we mentioned this yesterday, you know, chanting on beads, you know, chanting a certain number of rounds. And of course, we also made reference yesterday to Srinivas Acharya's poem to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sankhya, Purvaka. They actually counted their, you know, Sankhya Purva Ganama Gananati B from the Goswami Ashtaka. How the Goswamis and Rupa Goswami taught how to count the chanting of Hare Krishna, you know, on beads. So Prabhupada showing himself as a, you know, complete follower of Srila Rupa Goswami, showed how to do this Vaidhi Sadhana, these rules and regulations perfectly. And that's really what it means to be a Rupanuga, to actually do Vaidhi, not to just remain on the platform of Vaidhi or Vidhi. Vidhi means rules and regulations. But whatever platform you're at, to always set an example of Vaidhi Sadhana. And Srila Prabhupada commented in that regard, that even if one is on a higher platform, let's say a spontaneous platform, devotional service, one should act externally to set a good example for others in terms of Vaidhi Sadhana. I mean, I remember talking to one devotee one time who didn't have such good Vaidhi Sadhana, and I was saying to him, you know, don't you think it would be good to show an example? I know you're on the highest platform, devotional service, to show an example. And then he said, basically, he said, isn't there any place for spontaneity in the Krishna consciousness movement? Well, there is a place for spontaneity. Spontaneity can be in one's heart. And actually, if one is very advanced in devotional service, the more advanced they are, the more strict they will be in their external following, because they're setting concern for others. They're setting a good example. Yadi yada charity shows us. So Srila Prabhupada showed himself as the perfect example of someone who was on, who was a Rupa Nuga, a follower of Rupa Goswami. So that's it, you know, Vaidhi, showing Vaidhi Sadhana, which Rupa Goswami elaborated on, and then preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, there was the story. I was just listening to a class given by Tamal Krishnamars the other day about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had taken a vow of chanting 1 billion names of the Lord. He was sitting in his kutir, and he didn't even take the time to fix his roof. You know, so many of us, we complain, you know, oh, there's some ants coming in. We have to take the time of taking care of the ants, the termites, and everything like that. And he gets such anxiety. But there was a leak in his roof, and all he did was held an umbrella over his head. And then what happened, as he was trying to chant 1 billion rounds, and he did, what, not 1 billion rounds, 1 billion names, and he was doing this for a number of years, then the Panchatattva appeared to him. And the Panchatattva says, go out and preach. And so he got the order of the Panchatattva to preach Krishna consciousness. So to be a Rupanuga means strict sadhana and preaching Krishna consciousness, or a balance, as Srila Prabhupada said, of Bhagavad Vidhi, isn't it? And Pancharatriki Vidhi. Two things have to be there. Like Prabhupada said, the two tracks of the train. Of course, nowadays they have monorails, but that's a different subject matter. So, in my mind, that's what it means to be a Rupanuga. That you show Vaidhi, even if you're on a higher platform, and you're very strict in your Pancharatriki Vidhi, and you dedicate yourself to Bhagavad Vidhi, which is preaching Krishna consciousness, reading, you know, the Shastra and everything like that. Does that make sense? Thank you. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah. They're what?
Mukhas.
Yeah.
They're not there later.
Yeah. Well, the ones that really did the destruction were the Mughals, because the other one, they're like Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb. Akbar was actually a Mughal too, but he was a good Mughal.